Hebrews chapter number 1, no, chapter 11, I think, verse number 1, book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want to say something a moment before you do that. Would you please smile? It's so good to see your smiling face. All right, amen. Chapter number 11, I want to read verses 1 down to verse number 7. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." There are two words that are used over and over in this chapter. By faith. By faith. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you this morning for the privilege, the opportunity to stand in this pulpit once again. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God that we can stand assuredly upon, that we can preach its truth and know that you take your words and place them in the hearts of people. Lord, we know not how you do that, but we know you do, and we thank you for that. We pray for the unction and the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit of God in these moments. Give us a listening ear this morning. Lord, no doubt there are some who have things that could distract their mind this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you might take those things away, and that our focus may be upon you and your word, and allow you to work and move in our hearts. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, it's somewhat similar to last week, "Pleasing God." We come to verse number 1. It says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for." The sense of that word "substance" is a deep assurance, or that which substantiates it. In other words, a proving of the truth in our own heart and mind. I'm glad this morning for this thing called faith. Faith becomes the proof of things not seen, as I noticed there in verse number 1 as well. In verse number 2, it talks about the elders obtain a good report by it. It means that they were observed by others. And of course, when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, it's a chapter of rehearsal of who and what has been observed in the lives of God's men and women. We find in verse number 3, it talks about how the worlds came into being and how matter, all things, and I'm talking about material things, came out of nothing. And how did God do that? He spoke it into existence. By the very voice of God, that which was not now becomes so. Faith, by the way, is simply believing what God has said, whether it be audible or written. I find a tremendous truth in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Do you ever stop and think about the next few words? "And that not of yourselves." It's a gift of God. Think about it for just a moment here. We know that faith brings pleasure to God, and God gives to us salvation by faith, and yet he gives us faith. Isn't that interesting? But don't get too excited in one realm of that, thinking you are just a few people who've gotten faith. God gives that as a gift to all mankind. People have the ability to believe. That comes from God. And so God takes that ability and offers to us His Word that we might believe it. And thus, by grace, we can be saved, what? Through the faith, which is not of ourselves, that's a gift of God. You know, as God's people, caring people, sometimes we make things very complicated concerning the thing that we would call salvation. Let me give you a few thoughts this morning. I've heard people say, when seeking to have other folks come to know Christ their Savior, how's that done, by the way? For by grace are you saved through faith. All right. What's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world, He, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Could you, if I gave you a piece of paper and a pencil, could you write down in one sentence the matter of how to get saved? Could you do that? Or would it become somewhat complicated? And I believe sometimes we do make it complicated. Let me give you a couple of things that folks say. Sometimes I've heard folks say, well, make Him the Lord of your life. Make Him the Lord of your life. First of all, I'd like to know how in the world you do that. Listen, you cannot add to this thing of faith. If you add to it, it's no longer a free gift. Matter of fact, if your salvation is dependent upon you making Him Lord, you have just lost your assurance of salvation. And there's a big difference, by the way, between a believer who has salvation and when we have the Lord leading in our lives of service. There's a difference. A believer accepts the invitation of the gospel. That's the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. A disciple is one that the challenges of life are dedicated to service to Him. That's the sacrifice of the believer. But making Him Lord is not how we get saved. We accept Him how? By faith. By faith. What pleases God? Faith. That's what we find here in these verses. And God is pleased with our faith. He was pleased, we find, with Enoch. We find that He talks about it in verse number 6. It's impossible to please Him without it. I've heard also folks say when they're seeking to reach people for Christ, and I believe their heart is right and good in the matter, but sometimes we make some mistake. They say, follow Jesus and be His disciple. Listen, we are called to follow Him, but that's not a call of salvation. Peter and Andrew and James and John had already met Jesus. They'd already put their faith in Him. Matter of fact, we find that when they met with Jesus on one occasion, He said, whom do men say that I am? And then He said, who do you say you are? And Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they were called to be disciples. You and I, we get saved, and then we are to become His disciples. Discipleship does not save us. It is something that is a result of it. There be a difference. I've heard folks say, well, give your life to God. By the way, it's not an offering of ourselves to Him. It's accepting His offering to us. Isn't that true? It's what He has done for us. And so, listen, you know, we ought to give our life in service to God, but that's not what saves us from our sin. Some have said, well, turn from your sin. You know, without the Spirit of God dwelling within you, how in the world are you going to stop sinning? How are you going to turn from that? You see, you've got to get saved first. The Spirit of God comes and dwells within you, and then you can turn from sin. Somebody says, well, you've got to be sorry for your sin. Listen, regret and sorrow for sin are common, but they're not conditional for salvation. What's conditional is we must believe. By faith are ye saved through grace. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a matter of that. Oh, probably you'll be regretful of your sin, probably be sorry for your sin. But what saves you, your sorrow, or what? You're putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps the one we are the most guilty of, and perhaps you've never thought about it, but a lot of times I've heard people say, well, ask Jesus to come into your heart. Let's imagine for a moment you're an 8-year-old. And you say, well, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. what is going through his mind? Does he yet understand the Bible when it talks about the heart being that which is the inner man? Matter of fact, we take that out of Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." If we take that in its context, we find out that the church at Laodicea was lukewarm and Jesus is not really a part of it. And he is coming to that church saying, "Hey, let me in and be a part of your life." It's not a matter of asking Jesus into the heart. It's a fact of believing in what he did. I hope you understand the difference there. We find in this chapter faith being demonstrated by their actions. It isn't about their actions bringing salvation. It's about because they have faith that things happen in their lives. We're going to look at three this morning. We read the story, verse 4, 5, and 7 of Abel, Enoch, and of Noah. Let's look first of all in verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What did Abel offer? It was an animal, a lamb. What had to happen to that lamb to give it to God? It had to die. Okay? And then given to God. God says a more excellent sacrifice. Cain brought of the field. He brought his grain. He brought those things that he'd grown in his garden. And it was not accepted by God. Tells us here, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by being dead yet speaketh. When he says by faith here, it is a revelation of God telling him something and he believing it. Now, it might have been the audible words of God. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. It might be the realization of the significance of the sacrificial lamb for his parents when they had sinned in the Garden of Eden. And God slew the lamb and took that and clothed their naked bodies. How he received this revelation, we don't know. But we do know this from this verse. By faith, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And we find that God testifies of his faith, revealing his righteousness by faith. He offered God a more excellent sacrifice. And I want you to see the last portion of this verse where it says, "And by it he being dead yet speaketh." And by it he being dead yet speaketh. Do you understand today that your faith speaks to other people? Do you understand that your faith will outlast your body? Isn't that true? What you have believed God for is something that will go far beyond your earthly life. Abel has been dead probably around 6,000 years. And yet we still read in the Word of God, we still understand what he did. And his testimony lives yet today. And what's his testimony? By faith. What he knew God wanted, he did. Why did he do it? Because he believed God wanted him to do that. Was it the slaying of the lamb that saved him? Or was it because he believed that the slain lamb would save him? You see, Jesus was slain for the sins of all the world, but only those who will believe it are saved. Is that not true? So by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse number 5, as we go a little farther, it says, "By faith, Enoch." What an interesting fellow. It says he was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, until I came to this verse in the Word of God, I thought translation was when we took one language and we said the same thing in another language. And the word translated certainly has the idea of being transformed from one form into another. And in this case, from one place to another, and that agrees with the context. Is that not true? By the way, would you like to be like Enoch? Would you like to be just taken to the presence of God like that? There is a generation that's going to happen with. Yeah. We very well could be that generation that is taken into the very presence of God. The trumpet sounds, the shout is made, and we are taken in the twinkling of an eye into the very presence of God. Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wow, what words. What great promise, amen? Enoch was translated. He was taken in the very presence of God. How did this come about? It came about because Enoch so believed God that he walked with him constantly. He was God's friend, if you please. Of great importance to see what God did as a result of his faith. It was not something that Enoch did. It's what God did. What did Enoch do? Same thing Abel did. He believed. He took what he knew and he believed it. We understand that as we go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, go through the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, we're going to find that there are people who had what we could call a greater view of God. As God revealed himself more and more. Did Adam know what we know? He didn't have the Word of God as you and I do. Matter of fact, we don't believe that there was any written Word of God until the time of Moses. And yet, God, as he reveals himself, and whatever it is that he reveals, they believe him. And that pleased God. We find nothing else pleasing to God as our faith. Look at verse 6 again with me. The last of verse 5 says that he pleased God, but without faith it is what? Impossible to please him. He said, I've done all these things. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But preacher, don't understand. I've gave this money to the church. I did this certain thing. I helped these individuals. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And it's interesting what he says. That faith must believe, as we notice the rest of that verse, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. There's a belief in the very being of God. Have you ever met people who said, oh, I don't believe in God? By the way, that was a decision they made based upon their own selfishness. Because they do not want to be responsible to one above them. Because something interesting, when God made us, he made us with the ability to believe. And if we deny that, we're going against what God gave to us. And he pleased God. He believed that he is, and he believed that he was one who would reward those who seek after him. Verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving his house, by which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, this interesting thing, when you go back to the book of Genesis, you find that in those early days, we don't find a thing called rain. We basically find that God watered through the night through dew. And rain was probably a foreign thing. And yet God says to Noah, I'm going to cause it to rain. Perhaps Noah had to have that illustrated to him? I don't know. But it was something he had never seen before. And the Bible says, he being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He realized there was judgment coming in a way that he had never seen before, and he did something because he believed God. He followed God's instructions for it. God gave him what to build with and how to build it. When we study this verse and study and go back to the book of Genesis and put this with it, it becomes very evident that it was not the ark that saved him, but his faith to believe God to build the ark. There's a difference. By faith, by faith. Going back to the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. God has given every one of us an ability to believe. It's stated here as a gift of God. Everyone in this room, whether you believe in God or do not believe in God, you believe in something. It's innate within us. You operate by a faith. A while ago after we sang, they had you sit down. By faith you sat down believing the chair was still there. Believing it would hold you up when you got to it. Well, preacher, that's pretty obvious. Well, it is obvious because we believe it. Oh, by the way, have you ever sat down and the chair got moved? There's always some smart alecky boy that will make sure that you understand that concept sometime in your early growing up years. Have you ever sat on a chair and it didn't hold you? Most of you know I was a little farm boy until I was, 7 or 8 years old. My daddy milked 7 cows every morning. And I would go down on many of those mornings and watch him milk cows. And the barn we had was actually an old dairy barn. And it was set up to where you could bring in about 20, 25 head of cows put them in what we called stanchions, basically a board. They put their head in to eat some hay, and you close that thing, they couldn't bring their head back out of it. So they were caught. And they didn't care. As long as there's hay there, they didn't care. And so it had them in a position. Dad would then, after he got them in place, he would get his old buck. He had I think it was a little 2-gallon pail that he took with him. And he would sit down. The first cow he'd sit by always had the same place. She always number one. And we called her Bossy. I don't know why we called her Bossy. Maybe she was. I don't know. She wouldn't let anybody else have that stall. And he would get his little stool and sit down. Now, I saw it was kind of strange. Why, Dad, did you just get a stool like that? Dad had a 1-legged stool. Now, most in this room, if you got a stool, you want at least 3 legs, right? Now, my dad, it had a single, it was like a 4x4 with a 2x4 nailed to the top of it. And it set about so high, just so much he could get down on that thing. And have his 2 feet planted, and he'd always just lay his head right against the flank of that cow. He reached down to those udders and began to milk. By the way, kids, if you go to the zoo and milk that, it's not the same. You don't just squeeze those udders and get milk out of them. There's a little bit of a technique to it. You see, you got to kind of act like a calf that's sucking. So you kind of pull down at the same time. And he'd milk those cows. I don't know what happened one day. The next thing I knew was the milk was spilled and he was laying in the hay alongside of old Bossy. Somehow it didn't hold him. Somehow he didn't sit down on it right. He'd have never did what he did if he'd have thought he'd end up on the ground afterwards. He'd done it hundreds of times. On his time, it didn't work. But he believed it would. And you and I, we operate by faith. I just use it as a homely illustration. We operate in the realm of faith constantly. And so God has given us an ability to believe. But who and what you believe, this is a continuation in regards to last week, who and what you believe becomes very, very important. Matter of fact, it's the difference between heaven and hell. Again, going back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Let me do something right there for a moment. A lot of folks think that love is just this mushy thing that's inside of you. Oh, you get all gooey and all that kind of stuff. I don't see that with God. God's love wasn't gooey and gushy. It was giving. For God so loved the world, he gave. How do you really know somebody's love? They give. Most of all, they give of themselves to you. And that's exactly what God did. And then it goes on and says, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a promise that God gives us. Are you willing to believe the promise? 52 years ago, I did. Matter of fact, another month or two, it'll be 53. I'm thankful for what God did on that day. If you're on Dodge Street and you're going by the university over there, and you're headed west, look to the left. If you see a bell tower there, there's a building back behind that just a little bit. Matter of fact, if you're headed west, it'll be just a little bit to the south and east of that bell tower. It was in that building I first understood the gospel, and I got saved. How did it happen? I saw some things from the Word of God that I'd never seen before. At the University of Nebraska at Omaha, they weren't trying, believe me. But God, in his magnificence, through a course I was taking, showed me his word, and I believed it. I believed it. I didn't have to do push-ups for it. I didn't have to get baptized for it. I didn't have to go to church to get it. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to make him my Lord. I didn't know how to do that, but I could believe in him. If you'd said, ask him into your heart, I would have thought, we didn't have open heart surgery in those days. I didn't wonder how in the world you did that. I was 19 years old, but I didn't have a concept of what they meant by heart. But I knew what it meant to believe. And I did. Amen. How do we please him? We believe him. We believe him. Parent, no doubt you've told your kids things and you've told them over and over again. They get on some some team. Let's just assume they're going to play baseball. And they come home some night from practice. And they tell you something the coach told them. And they are just mesmerized by it. And you stop and think, I have told you that 10,000 times. We're a little upset because they didn't believe us. But aren't we glad they did believe somebody finally? God is excited and pleased when we believe him. Amen. Are you pleasing to him? Do you believe him? Do you believe he is? Do you believe he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him? In other words, we'll put it this way. Do you believe if you wanted him in your life, in other words, you wanted to be saved, that he'd do that? Oh, yeah. That makes a difference. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. He gives us the ability to do it. So don't tell me you can't. God gives you that ability. It comes down to, will you choose to operate in that? Will you choose him? Father, today, work in hearts. What a great need there always is. Those of us who sat in this room, we revel in the fact that there was a day that we put our faith in you. We're so thankful for it, and we praise you. We just want to honor you. But Lord, perhaps there's one in this room that that's never been true of. And they need just simply to believe you. Lord God, work in hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.